إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستغفره ونستعينه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرًا ونذيرًا بين يدي الساعة، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا. أما بعد، عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله، فإن الله يأمر بذلك قائلا: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. ويقول تبارك وتعالى في محكم التنزيل بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: وذا النون إذ ذهب مغاضبا فظن أن لن نقدر عليه فنادى في الظلمات أن لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. فاستجبنا له ونجيناه من الغم وكذلك ننجي المؤمنين. وعن أبي عثمان عن أبي هريرة قال: أبخل الناس الذي يبخل بالسلام، وإن أعجز الناس من عجز بالدعاء. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: من سره أن يستجيب الله له عند الشدائد والكرب فليكثر الدعاء في الرخاء. وهذا حديث حسن. My brothers and sisters, last week I began speaking about the significance and the importance of dua. Then I said, among many other things, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to love al-jawami' min al-dua. He used to love the comprehensive type of dua. And when he taught people dua, he taught them the comprehensive dua which included the benefits of this world and the next world. For example, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Oh Allah, give us the goodness of this world, or the excellence of this world, the excellence of the next world, and save us from the punishment of the fire. And the many du'as or ad'iyah that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. And alhamdulillah, our deen is not short of the ad'iyah that one can find either in the Qur'an or in the Sahih Ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so inshallah ta'ala, I want to continue this discussion in today's khutbah. In a hadith that is sahih, mawquf, and also it is sahih, marfu' hadith, that Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu narrated, أَبْخَلُ النَّاسِ الَّذِي يَبْخَلُ بِالسَّلَامِ, the most miser of all people, the most stingy of all people, is the one who is stingy when it comes to giving salam. He doesn't have the audacity to give salam. He thinks people should give him salam first. And a person who doesn't give salam to other people, he is known as abkhal al-nas. He is the most miser of all misers, a stingy person, because he's not giving salam. وَإِنَّ أَعْجَزَ النَّاسِ مَنْ عَجَزَ بِالدُّعَاءِ, and the most incapable of people are those who are incapable of making dua. The most incapable of people are those who are most incapable of making dua. And so in other words, make dua. And so dua, we said last week, is a very powerful tool that Allah Ta'ala has given to believing men and women. In fact, dua is not limited for believers, because a non-Muslim who is oppressed, a mazloom, as it comes in the many sahih narrations, that the dua of a mazloom is accepted. The dua of one who is oppressed is also accepted, and this one who is oppressed can be a non-Muslim. In the books of history, it is narrated that one of the reasons, perhaps, that the Mongols succeeded in breaking the backbone of the Islamic Empire of the day was because of the dua of some mazlumin, the dua of some people who were oppressed. So the year 1258 is a very important year, and we should try to keep it in our mind, because 1258 is the year when the Mongols destroyed the Khilafah, or destroyed the Islamic Empire, at least in the eastern part. in Baghdad. And by then, the Islamic Empire was at its peak. And it took the Mongols in 1258 only 40 days to come and destroy it all. The eminent scholar who passed away some time ago, a few years ago, Abu al-Hasan Ali al-Nadwi, rahmatullah alayhi, many of you would have heard of the name, he says about this particular incident, he said the reason being is that the Muslims of the day killed the envoys or the ambassadors of the Mongols, and for which they went on top of the mountain and they said, "Oh God of the Muslims, take revenge from them, against them." Now dua of the mazlum, we have to be mindful of the dua of anyone upon whom we commit oppression. And so dua is not limited for us, but anyone can be making dua, and Allah Ta'ala, if He wishes, can accept the dua of anyone. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith that is Hassan, he says to us, "Man sarrahu an yastajiba Allahu lahu 'inda ash-shada'idi wal-kurabi falyukthir ad-du'a'a fi ar-rakha'i." If you want Allah Ta'ala to respond to your dua in times of difficulties and hardship, because often even those who don't believe when they are in serious hardship, instinctively they turn to Allah. Instinctively. And so those who do believe, when they fall in difficulties and hardships, they also turn to Allah. And this is a beautiful thing about having tawheed in your heart. Even as much as we are detached perhaps from Allah Ta'ala, a person who has tawheed in his heart, when the going gets tough, he turns to Allah or she turns to Allah. And that is a beautiful thing about, alhamdulillah, believing. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you wish that Allah Ta'ala accepts your dua, and who doesn't want Allah Ta'ala to accept his dua? If you want Allah Ta'ala to accept your dua in terms of difficulties and tribulations, then make sure that you get in the habit of making dua in times of ease. When things are easy and Allah Ta'ala has made life easy for you, when health is good, when you have money, when you have a house, when your children are doing well, when everything seems to be going well, don't forget Allah Ta'ala in your dua. In other words, do not turn to Allah Ta'ala only in times of hardship, but be constant in seeking Allah Ta'ala's assistance even when all things seem to be going okay or fine. One of the most beautiful of narratives in the Quran that speaks volumes about the importance of dua is the story of Yunus alayhi salatu wassalam. And although this is not the time to narrate the story of Yunus alayhi salam, for many of you know the story inshaAllah, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells us among many verses in the Quran about the story of Yunus, وَذَنُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا فَظَنَّ أَنْ لَنْ نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ فَنَادَ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين فاستجبنا له ونجيناه من الغم وكذلك ننجي المؤمنين. In a beautiful depiction and in the style of the Quran that is so eloquent and comprehensive, for if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved that his dua be comprehensive and the jawami' of the dua, the entirety of the Quran falls in what is known as jawami' al-kalim. It has the comprehensiveness or the ability to express huge concepts and stories in sometimes very short but precise and to the point verses. And so in these particular verses, Allah says, وَذَنُّونِ and Yunus عليه السلام, when he left his town and his people in anger, because he gave them da'wah, they did not respond to him, and he expected that because they did not respond, that Allah's punishment should come upon them. But Allah's punishment did not come, and so he had no patience at that instance, and he left them. Commenting on this as a sideline only, the ulama comment on this and they say, you don't leave your people in times of need. And if Allah Ta'ala has dealt with a prophet in this way, what about us? So when Yunus left in times when they were still needing him, and he was not patient enough to wait to see what happens, فَظَنَّ أَن لَّن نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ, and he thought we are incapable of taking him to task, And then the verse says, فَنَادَ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ. And then when he was in the darknesses, he called upon Allah. So the story sort of fast forwards, and we know that he went into the boat, and there were waves, and so they drew lots, and it was his turn every time they drew lots as to who should throw himself off the boat. And Allah Ta'ala wanted Yunus to be thrown off the boat. And so when it was his three times or so that they drew his lot, he threw himself in the ocean. Allah commanded a whale to come and swallow him without hurting him. And the whale dragged him all the way to the bottom of the ocean. So in this ayah, ظلمات, darknesses, many commentators say it means the darkness of the belly of the whale, and the darkness of the night, and the darkness of the depth of the ocean. Meaning it is, as some Mufassirun said, it was the worst solitary confinement in the history of mankind. It is the worst solitary jail in the history of mankind, where a person is imprisoned in the belly of the whale in three darknesses. Now when he was in the darkness of the belly of the whale, or these darknesses, now Imam Al-Mufassir Al-Tabari rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions a particular hadith which is categorized as da'if or weak by some. And he says Yunus began to hear some noise in the ocean that he was not familiar with. So he asked, what is this? The angel said to him, that is the tasbih, the praising of Allah of the creation of the ocean. The praising Allah Ta'ala. And that sort of, this is when he sort of clicked and he recognized his mistake. And then he made a very important dua. And this dua is transferred to us or transmitted to us in the Quran when he says, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. La ilaha illa anta, there is no deity except you. Subhanaka, transcendent you are. Inni kuntu min al-zalimin, I admit that I have been of the oppressors. Immediately, Allah says, we responded to his dua. And we saved him, and likewise we will respond to the dua of the believers. In this regard, Al-Hakim narrates that Sa'id radiallahu anhu qal, kunna julusan inda Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, faqal, ala ukhbirukum bi shay'in, idha nazala bi rajulin minkum karbin, aw karibun, aw bala'un min balaya dunya, da'a bihi yufarraju anhu, faqila lahu bala, فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام دعاء ذي النون لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين حديث صححه الألباني. نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said to the Sahaba who were sitting next to him, shall I tell you of something, meaning a dua, that if you are to make, if any person was to make when difficulties come upon him or her, that Allah Ta'ala would remove these difficulties from them and Allah will relieve them of their hardship? They said, of course, O Nabi of Allah, please tell us. He said the dua of Yunus alayhi salam. If you make the dua of Yunus, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Again, as you can see, it's a short, precise and concise dua. If you say this dua, then Allah Ta'ala, inshaAllah Ta'ala, will relieve your difficulties. وقال حدثتني أم الدرداء قال حدثني سيدي أنه سمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من دعا لأخيه بظهر الغيب قال الملك الموكل به آمين ولك بمثل. صحيح مسلم. أم الدرداء رضي الله عنها narrates this beautiful hadith to us that she said that she heard her master say that Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said, and this is comes under the heading usually of the making dua for your brother or sister in their absence. And that is one of those guaranteed duas for which Allah Ta'ala will respond. It is a guaranteed for acceptance. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, whosoever makes dua for his brother or sister behind their back, in their absence, then an angel that has been deputized especially for this occasion will say to your dua, Ameen, and for you the same. Ameen. And so the Ameen of the angel is accepted. And so if you were to say, Ya Allah Ta'ala, and this is particularly helpful to cleanse our hearts sometimes of malice, jealousy and hatred that we may have towards others. Sometimes somebody has done something wrong to you. And one of the greatest ways of cleansing our hearts is in their absence, despite the fact that they have done wrong to you, and despite the fact that you may have some animosity towards them, you raise your hands and you say, Ya Allah, forgive my brother Abdul Rahman. Ya Allah, give my brother Abdul Rahman Jannah. When you are making this dua, the angel that is deputized specially for this occasion will say Ameen to you for your dua and for you the same. And this is not only guaranteed the acceptance of dua, but it is also a guarantee that you'll also receive the same reward. So never hesitate, my brothers and sisters, to make dua, a good dua, for those who are not present. In fact, this is one of the ways also that can show, you know, save us sometimes from show-off and ostentation. You know, sometimes we may make dua in the face of somebody. May Allah Ta'ala forgive you. But behind their back, maybe we curse them. And that is not what we want to do. But rather, behind their back, in their absence, to make dua for them. Now, for dua to be accepted, my brothers, the ulama stipulate many conditions, and I want to mention only three. Al-awwal, the first of these conditions, is that the dua that you make, dua illah wahdahu, to make dua seeking or for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for any, for show or not for ostentation, and to ask Allah ta'ala, the greatest of ways to ask Allah is through His asma and His sifat, through His names and attributes. Because dua is a ibadah, and ibadah must have the condition of ikhlas. Any act of ibadah or any act that we do that has to have the condition of sincerity, dua must also have the condition of ikhlas, that you know who you are calling upon, Allah Ta'ala. You know what you are calling for. And if you're making dua for somebody else, it is sincere for the sake of Allah, based on the surah, based on the verse in Surah Ghafir, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. And your Lord said, call upon me. Don't call upon anyone else. Call upon me. When you make dua, turn to me, because I am the one who responds to the dua. وعن ربيعة بن يزيد عن أبي إدريس الخولاني عن أبي هريرة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث صحيح قال لا يزال يستجاب للعبد ما لم يدعو بإثم أو قطيعة رحم ما لم يستعجل. قيل يا رسول الله ما الاستعجال؟ قال يقول قد دعوت وقد دعوت فلم أرى يستجيب لي فيستحسر عند ذلك ويدع الدعاء. Another condition is that when you make dua, for it to be accepted, it should not be a dua where you ask for a sin or the committing of a sin, nor is it a dua in which you ask for the disconnection of kinship ties. You don't make dua, Ya Allah Ta'ala, sever the ties between me and my brother. You don't do that. It's Ya Allah, connect the ties between me and my brother or father or whatever. So you don't make dua in which you ask for something that is unacceptable in itself in our deen. And that is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith sahih narrated by Muslim, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah Ta'ala will continue to accept the dua of a slave as long as he or she do not ask for a sinful matter, nor do they ask for disconnection of kinship ties, and thirdly, and as long as they are not hasty, impatient. قِيلَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا الْإِسْتِعْجَالِ. They said, what does hasty mean? What does being impatient mean? قَالَ يَقُولَ قَدْ دَعَوْتُ وَقَدْ دَعَوْتُ فَلَمْ أَرَى يَسْتَجِيبُ لِي فَيَسْتَحْسِرُ عِنْدَ ذَلِكَ وَيَدَعُ الدُّعَاء. He said, a person makes dua. And then he said, I made dua again and again, and nothing is happening. And when that negative attitude comes in, then shaitan, of course, takes that as an opportunity to make you despondent, lose hope, and then you leave dua. You leave making dua. Our task is to make dua. It is not our responsibility to demand an answer. Allah Ta'ala gives when He wants, as He wants. For He knows best when to give, to whom to give, when to give, and why to give, and why not to give. And that is why when we ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, what is required of us is to ask Allah Ta'ala, مُوقِنُونَ بِالْإِجَابَةِ. When you ask Allah knowing with certainty that He will respond to you, and you make dua with a heart that is attentive, and leave it. For He decides when to give. This is according to the hadith of, again, Abu Huraira قال, قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, ادعوا الله وأنتم موقنون بالإجابة. When you make dua, ask Allah with the certainty that Allah will respond. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُ دُعَاءً مِنْ قَلْبٍ غَافِلٍ لَاهٍ. And know that Allah Ta'ala, however, will not respond to a dua that comes from a heart that is heedless and negligent. A heart that is heedless and negligent. And this is a hadith that is also Hasan. That is Hasan. But also, my brothers and sisters, when we make dua, one of the greatest way to start off the dua, to open your dua, that is through bihamdillahi wa thana'i alayhi, by praising Allah, glorifying Allah, and glorifying Allah even more, and giving salawat on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An Anas, annahu kana ma'a Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam jalisan. Wa rajulun yusalli, thumma da'a, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi anna laka alhamda la ilaha illa anta almannanu badi'u samawati wal ard. Ya dhal jalali wal ikrami ya hayyu ya qayyum. Faqala an-nabiyyu alayhi s-salatu wa s-salam, laqad da'a allaha bi ismihi al-azim, alladhi idha du'ya bihi ajab, wa idha su'ila bihi a'ta. Hadithun sahih. Anas radiallahu anhu said, I was sitting once with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and just imagine this scenario with me. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting, the companions with him, the sahaba with him, and there was somebody just next to them who was making salah. And after his salah, he made this dua, and they could hear him. He made this dua. He said, As'aluka bi anna laka alhamd. I ask you, for all praise belongs to you. La ilaha illa ant, there is not, no deity except you. Al-mannanu badi'u samawati wal ard, the one who bestows favor, the originator and perfecter of the heavens and the earth. Ya dhal jalali wal ikram, owner of majesty and dignity and nobility. Ya hayyu ya qayyum, O most living, O self-subsisting. Nabi s.a.w. hearing this, he said, he has called upon Allah's greatest name, and for anyone who uses that dua and that name, Allah will accept his dua. Allah will accept. Calling upon Allah through his names of beauty and names of majesty. Ya Mannan, Ya Kareem, Ya Azeem, Ya Arham Ar-Rahimeen, Ya Dhul Jalali Wal Ikram. To call upon Allah Azza wa Jal through his names and his attributes, and also to send salutations and salam upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Ya fawza al-mustaghfirin astaghfiruhu innahu ghafurun raufun rahim. الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد, another matter that when we are making dua to raise our hands and to raise them as much as you can, for it comes in صحيح مسلم, حدثنا أبو بكر بن أبي شيبة حدثنا يحيى بن أبي بكير عن شعبة عن ثابت عن أنس قال رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يرفع يديه في الدعاء حتى يرى بياض إبطيه. نبي أنس says, I used to see Rasulullah sallam making dua, and he would raise his hand so much that I would see the whiteness under his armpits. He would raise his hand so much, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so to raise Allah, because that is an indication of extreme want. It is a type of munajah. It is a type of seeking assistance and help. As Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullah alayhi, says, when we seek Allah, when we ask Allah Ta'ala, you imagine yourself drowning in the midst of an ocean, and there is none there to save you but Him. You raise your hand high up and you say, Ya Rabb, O Allah, help me. And to have that absolute, that feeling of absolute need from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and also never to hesitate. When we make dua, do not hesitate in asking. And I find that quite amazing, that Allah Ta'ala is not in need of us, but He says, if you ask me, insist on me. Imagine somebody coming to you, asks you one times, two times, and then continues to insist, you must give me, you must give me, you must give me. In this hadith that is narrated in Sahih Muslim, Anas qala, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا دَعَى أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَعْزِمْ فِي الدُّعَاءِ وَلَا يَقُلْ اللَّهُمَّ إِنْ شِئْتَ فَأَعْطِنِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا مُسْتَكْرِهَ لَهَ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if any one of you makes dua, be firm in your dua, insist on Allah Ta'ala, and don't say, Ya Allah, if you wish, give me, then give me. Don't say that, he says. But say, Ya Allah, give me. Because nobody, in any case, can force Allah to give in any case. So you say, Ya Allah, give me. And if He wants, He will give you. But don't hesitate by saying, Ya Allah, if you wish, give me. No, you ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give you. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to continue making dua. Inshallah Ta'ala, in future khutab, we may continue to talk about what are the times and the best places for making dua. So inshallah ta'ala, meanwhile, remember to make dua constantly, at least after every salah. There are ad'iya for every occasion that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. And one who is constantly in dua is constantly in a state of awareness and in a state of dhikr. My brothers, just before I finish, I want to draw your attention to one matter. It has come to my attention, I don't know who the person is, and may Allah Ta'ala reward him the best of the reward, that a complaint or whatever, so I don't know who the person, so nobody thinks that it's you, because I don't know who it is, that I should not be drinking water in the second part of the khutbah, or when I sit down. And I appreciate that that feedback didn't come to me directly, it came through a second source. And naturally, I went to double check to make sure that what I do is right, and that the brother maybe is right or maybe is wrong. And the jumhur of the ulama say that it is okay to drink water during the sitting in the khutbah, the jumhur. Al-Imam al-Awza'i rahmatullah alayhi said it was makruh, but other ulama responded to Al-Imam al-Awza'i. Al-Imam al-Awza'i was of the great imams whose madhab, had it survived, would have been like the other four madhahib, but it did not survive. So he was a man of great caliber. He says it is makruh, but not haram. Other ulama responded to him and they said, well, that is your opinion, but you have gone against the jumhur. The jumhur meaning the majority of the scholars. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, Al-Imam al-Nawawi, rahmatullah alayhi, and many of the illustrious ulama of the past saw no problem in the imam drinking water if he needs to. Not, they said, laysa lit-taladhudh. Not so that because the imam decides he wants to sit now, and you know what, I'm going to enjoy this water. No, it's because maybe he needs to lubricate his throat. And so they said that is fine. In fact, they said even for the musallis who are sitting in a khutbah, that is also permitted. My point, my brothers, before you issue a fatwa, or before you give a verdict, before you make a proclamation regarding anything, may I kindly remind you that do not do so unless you have a comprehensive ilm of all the opinions of the ulama. One, because the bulk of our fiqh, the bulk of our jurisprudence is subject to differences of opinions. As long as there are differences of opinions, and they are sound differences of opinions based on sound methodologies, no one can come and say you are wrong or you are right. So my point is, please be careful before you issue a verdict or a fatwa or make a proclamation that one, you first go and find out and check yourself before you come and make a proclamation. Secondly, if you feel that I say anything that is inappropriate or wrong or that is not correct on this minbar, I advise you to come to me personally, please, and say to me, Brother Abdullah, I think what you said is incorrect. Can you please go and check it? Because sometimes also we come, I was giving a khutbah in Adelaide, and a brother came to me after, and he says, the hadith that you mentioned is mawdu'. And I know that I'm very particular about the hadith that I choose. And so, but I did not respond to him. I was shocked. I said, thank you for that. I will go and check it. And when I went and checked, he was wrong and I was right. The hadith was not mawdu', it was hasan. Some said it was hasan. Some ulama said it was da'if. But in any case, I used that hadith for targhib and not for issuing masail. And for targhib, many ulama say you can use a weak hadith. But even then, I am particularly very careful not to use the weak hadith. And if I do, I will say to you it's a weak hadith. So my brothers, before you take on yourself the authority to decide what is right and what is wrong, one, go and check it. And if there are differences of opinions, respect the other opinion, provided it is a difference of opinion among ulama. And secondly, if you think I have said anything wrong, or I quote any hadith that is wrong, please come and talk to me about it. You don't have to go to other people, because you know, by the time it gets to me, it may have been multiplied. Come and say, brother, this is what and I promise you, I will go and check it, and if I'm wrong, I'll promise you I will correct myself. Inshallah ta'ala, that is a advice, it's just a nasiha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us. Ibad Allah, inna Allah ya'muru qaila, inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا ذو الجلال والإكرام يا ذو الجلال والإكرام يا ذو الجلال والإكرام اللهم ربنا لك الحمد والشكر كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك اللهم إنا نعوذ بك منك لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم ارحمنا وارحم والدينا وارحم المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصل اللهم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الأخيار سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله